जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाला गिरिवधारी Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajaka Acharya Ashtotra Satyashri Srimad His Divine Grace Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Jaya ISKCON Founder Acharya Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, Hare Krishna and good morning, everyone. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 11, The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, text number 57. So I'll read the word meanings. Aho, how wonderful it is. Brahma vidam, of persons who have full knowledge of Brahman, transcendence. Vacha, the words na, never. Asatya, untruth. Shanti, become. Kartichit, at any time. Garga, Gargamuni. Yat, whatever. Aha, predicted. Bhagavan, Gargamuni, the most powerful. Anvabhavi, is exactly happening. Tata eva, as tat that. Aho Rama vidam bacho. Nasatya shantikarhichit. Gargo yad aha Bhagavan. Anvabhavi tatai vatat. Aho Brahma vidam bacho. Nasatya shantikarhichit. Gargo yad aha Bhagavan. Anvabhavi tatai vatat. Aho Brahma vidam bacho. Nasatya shantikarhichit. Gargo yad aha Bhagavan. Anvabhavi tatai vatat. Satya Shantikari Chit Gargo Yad Aha Bhagavan Anbhavavi Tatai Vatat. Thank you. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Gargamuni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. Purport. The purpose of human life is indicated in the Brahma Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa, to make one's life perfect in the past, present, and future one must learn about Brahman. Because of intense affection, Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna as he is. Gargamuni was able to know everything, past, present, and future, by studying the Vedas. But Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna directly. Because of his intense love for Krishna, he forgot who Krishna was and could not understand Krishna's potency. Although Krishna is Narayan himself, Gargamuni did not disclose this. Thus, Nanda Maharaj appreciated the words of Gargamuni, but because of his deep affection, he could not understand who Krishna was. Although Gargamuni had said that Krishna's qualities would be exactly like those of Narayana. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We have this idea from the Vedic culture that if something is repeated three times, it's repeated for emphasis, and it indicates a point that we should take particular note of. So when I read this purport the first time, I was struck by the fact that three times in the purport, Prabhupada says that Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna. But actually, when I just read it, I realized it's four times that that's said in the purport. Four times it said that Nanda Maharaj can understand Krishna, and it's a bit puzzling because Prabhupada begins the purport by saying that the purpose of human life is to make one's life perfect by learning about Brahman. But then he says that Nanda Maharaj, he couldn't understand Krishna, who is the supreme Brahman. So, what's the mystery here? What's the mystery here? Well, it seems to me that Prabhupada is telling us that Nanda Maharaj, the reason why Nanda Maharaj didn't understand Krishna is what we should try to understand. That is knowledge of Brahman. That's the ultimate knowledge of Brahman. We have conceptions about what Brahman may be from studying the Vedas, the Upanishads, but there's more to actually understanding Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And for that, we turn to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is described as the ripened fruit of the Vedic literatures. If you want the essence of the Vedas, or another way for understanding the essence is the real meaning of the Vedas, if that's what you want to understand, then you have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you go to Srimad Bhagavatam, you come to the Sonam Bonam. I think that's what the name for this 10th canto is, the Sonam Bonam. That means the topmost gift, the topmost subject matter that's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's found in 10th canto. And who's describing in 10th canto? The residents of Vrindavan are described in the 10th canto. So it's very important to understand, well, why didn't Nanda Maharaj, why is it said here that Nanda Maharaj did not understand Krishna as he is? That's what we should try to understand. That is Brahman. And so we turn to Srimad Bhagavatam. But not just to Srimad Bhagavatam, we also turn to our acharyas. If we want to understand, first principle is to accept the guru. And the guru can understand. Through his instructions, he can understand. And so we accept Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is coming in a line directly from Lord Chaitanya through the Goswamis. And the Goswamis, what they did their specific contribution was is that they went through all the Vedic literatures, and from there they extracted the cream, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sat Dharma Samstapako. They went and they extracted the cream of all the Vedic literatures, and they gave that as their instruction and guided us how to understand Krishna as he is. So Sharupa Goswami has given the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada gave us that as nectar of devotion. And if we turn to that book, we can actually get some understanding of this point that's being made in the purport here, that Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna as he is. He couldn't understand because of intense affection, Prabhupada says. Intense affection. So if we turn to the Nectar of Devotion and look at some of the elements of Vatsalya Rasa, we may be able to appreciate more, get a true understanding here of what it means by, it says, when Krishna could not understand Krishna, Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna as he is. So I just want to present here some elements of Vatsalya Rasa. Rasa means there's five different emotional states which comprise rasa. And so just so that we become familiar with these things, because again, if the purpose of human life is to understand Brahman, and we understand that to mean that we have to understand the Supreme Brahman, then we have to spend our life becoming familiar with the terms and the instruction given in the Nectar of Devotion. And so all this is laid out there for us, and you know, hearing these things over and over again, it's a very complex subject matter. It's complex even if you don't consider the spiritual qualifications necessary. Spiritual qualifications necessary, it really puts it maybe out of our grasp, but at least we should become familiar with the terminology and how some of these things work. So to do that, I just want to give some definitions of the different terms given in the Nectar of Devotion. But before I do that, I just want to point out something that I found interesting. Here in these verses, we're reading about the cowherd men coming together. And a little earlier in this chapter, we heard also about another meeting that the men had. They had a meeting and they decided, well, there's too many demons coming here. They were living in Gokul, so they wanted to move to Vrindavan, forest of Vrindavan. So it's interesting that when the cart, when they were moving from Gokul to Vrindavan, the gopis were together on the carts, and they were just singing the glories of Krishna. And we often hear how the gopis would hear Krishna's activities, and then they would put them into songs, and they would sing them when they're churning the butter, etc. So it seems like at these meetings that the men were having, the women weren't there. You know? So the men were having meetings, you know, but the women were like singing bhajans. So it's interesting that maybe the meeting syndrome among men is not bad. So, because both of these are ways of glorifying Krishna and ways of expressing love for Krishna. The women express, the gopis express their love for Krishna by singing these bhajans when they came together in the groups. And the men express their love for Krishna by having a meeting and talking about what's the best thing to do for their community and for the protection of Krishna. Both of these are expressions of ecstatic love for Krishna, Vatsalya Rasa. And so let's go through the different terminologies here. And we'll give some examples. Dhanadhara Swami has a book on the ways of devotion, which talks about these things, particularly from giving references to Prabhupada's nectar of devotion. So, five elements of rasa, in this case, vatsalya rasa, vatsalya meaning parental relationship with Krishna, parenthood, and that type of a loving relationship with Krishna. So, just generally, the five categories are vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhachari bhava, and sthayi bhava. So, one at a time. Vibhava could be defined as causes for tasting rati, or attraction, or affection. The cause for tasting that. This vibhava is broken down into two categories, vishaya, the object of ecstatic love, and ashraya, the reservoir of love. So just to make these things more approachable, there are some examples here given about vibhava from this Vatsalya Rasa. Of course, the vishaya, or the object, is Krishna himself. And the ashraya, or the place where that love, the reservoir, where it resides, are Krishna's elders, who particularly have a sense of protective compassion and mercy towards Krishna. And again, that comes out in the gopis in one way, and it comes out in the gopas in another. Particularly as in these verses we're reading today, it's coming out in terms of how they're coming together and discussing how to protect Krishna. His protection is something that's being discussed. And so, vibhava, the cause of tasting, affection for Krishna, and these two divisions, the object of the affection and the reservoir of the affection. There's also what's called udipana, which is something or an object which impels one to relish that affection for Krishna. And in Vatsalya Rasa, things like the Kumara age, Krishna's age, his childhood dress, his childhood restlessness, his childish words, these things are impetuses which impel one to taste and relish love for Krishna. So those are all in the vibhava, which is the first element. Second element is anubhava. And that's an expression which reaches, which results from heightened affection for Krishna. After seeing Krishna, then there is an expression of love that one voluntarily exhibits for Krishna, based on the fact that his love has been stimulated and heightened. And anubhava examples are smelling Krishna's head, patting Krishna, blessing, ordering, gazing at the child, seeing him with his seeing to his maintenance, chastising and correcting improper behavior, etc. So it's interesting, all these things which we sort of associate with parenthood, how we raise a child and we do different things. We have the sense also, even in our own lives here in this world, that those are loving things. I mean, we chastise our child because we love them and we want them to follow the right path in life. So this is coming from the spiritual world as pure loving expressions, ordering. It's interesting. One of the things here is gazing. And we had an example of that in a couple of verses ago where it described when Krishna and the boys came back from the forest after Krishna killed Bakasura, when they returned, Prabhupada says in a purport, because of intense love for Krishna, the coward men and women remained silent, thinking of Krishna and how the boys had been saved. The coward men and women looked upon Krishna and the boys and did not desire to take their eyes aside. Now that's the gazing that's mentioned here as an anubhava. So they were exhibiting the anubhava for Krishna, that love for Krishna, by gazing at him, both the men and the women that there in that that verse is described. So that's the second one. The third is sattvika bhava. And sattvika bhava also is kind of like anubhava, but it's involuntary. Although I've heard different things. Rabindra Shroop says, when he was giving a class on a series of lectures on the Shishikshastika, and he brought up this point, and he mentioned that, well, Dhanadhara Swami here says it's involuntary, but he questioned whether that's the complete understanding of it's just completely involuntary. But you get some idea about what a sattvika bhava is that, again, from our own experience, with hair standing on the end or tears coming to the eyes, you don't make these things happen, but they happen. Automatically, sort of involuntary. So that's the idea of sattvika bhava. And there's an example from Nectar Devotion where Prabhupada describes Nanda Maharaj and how he experienced this anubhava. It says that when Krishna was a baby, one day he was walking in the courtyard capturing the finger of his father. And because he could not walk steadily, he appeared to be almost falling down. When Nanda Maharaj was giving protection to his transcendental son in this way, all of a sudden there were drops of tears in his eyes and he became overwhelmed with joy. That's like a sattvika bhava experience that he had. The tears came to his eyes sort of involuntarily. And that's an example of Nanda Maharaj experiencing that. What would be an example of Mother Yashoda experiencing that? Can anybody say? Yeah, milk flowing from her breast automatically like that. That's sattvika bhava that Mother Yashoda experiences. Okay. Then there are vyabhachari bhavas. There are many of these. These are transitory emotions which embellish and further stimulate affection for Krishna. And that comes in different ways. We had a verse earlier where I gave class, I think a couple months ago, we were talking about that. And the fear, sort of a fear sort of swept over the gopis at one point. I think when Putana was there, and that actually heightened their love and this protective idea of Vatsalya Ras for protecting Krishna. And so that was an example of a Vyabhachari Bhava. It sort of comes and goes in a transcendental way. And then there's Stai Bhava, which is the permanent, Prabhupada describes as the permanent mood of affection for Krishna. And that's what we know as the five rasas, Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Five sthayi bhavas are permanent moods of affection for Krishna. That's something that that's a look at what is the science of, Prabhupada says the Nectar Devotion calls it the complete science of bhakti yoga. So the complete science of understanding Parabrahman, the Supreme Brahman, includes this type of an understanding of the different relationships that one can have with Krishna, loving relationships that one can have with Krishna, Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not Krishna as Narayana or Vaikuntha, but Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These kind of relationships are available. Now, in case you're wondering what the parental rasa, vatsalya rasa, of a gopa or cowherd man actually looks like, we can see it also in Nectar of Devotion. Because these eternal associates of Krishna in the spiritual world, their bodies are actually the bhava they have for Krishna. It's not different. The love they have for Krishna is manifest in their whole form. And so in the Nectar of Devotion, it describes Nanda Maharaj's form. So this is what Vatsalya Bhava, Vatsalya Rasa looks like and sort of personified, let's say. The hairs on his head are generally black, but some of them are gray. His garments are greenish color, like the new grown leaves of a banyan tree. His belly is fatty. His complexion is like the full moon, and he has a beautiful mustache. So that's kind of what it looks like, this Vatsalya Rasa of a gopa loving Krishna in Vrindavan. So maybe that's just a little introduction to these topics. As I said, our life is meant for studying, understanding these things. So we have many opportunities, especially when we're reading the 10th canto, to hear these things so that they start sticking in our mind. So are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Tom Harper?
Devotees occasionally experience ecstasy or experience great emotional feelings sometimes in a kirtan or in serving the deity or something like this. I think we've all experienced that one way or another. But yet I would think that I'm not on the level of Sattvika Bhava? Could you explain that? Do we sometimes experience glimpses of these things, or how do some of the experiences we have relate to these very high transcendental experiences of the eternal associates?
All right. That's a good question, a practical question for all of us also, because these are very elevated states of consciousness and love for Krishna and certainly cannot be imitated. But then we do experience them, especially hairs might stand on end or something, when you see like another devotee rendering such wonderful service and things like that, still you can be so inspired that your hairs may stand on end. Wow, this devotee is surrendering to Prabhupada so much. I think that the way to understand that is that the same way with the holy name, there is namabhas that's not pure chanting of the holy name, but some of the benefits that are derived from pure chanting are seen in namabhas at that stage, the shadow thing. And so similarly, there are, I think in the Nectar of Devotion, there are descriptions where there is like Vyabhacharya Bhas or different levels of experiencing these things. And so although not completely purified, we may still have some kind of a ability to experience these things in a preliminary way. There's a description the description by Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tata Saru Sangha Anartha Nivritti Laga. That verse by Rupa Goswami describes different stages of advancement in devotional service. And I was hearing a lecture by Ma Nidhi Swami, and he was explaining that although there are different stages, they're not like completely exclusive of one another. You know, there'll be some, even in the beginning stages of sadhu sangha, there'll be some attachment, some taste for Krishna. And he was saying even the other way too, even in stages like, you know, nista or steadiness, there may still be a little bit of, you know, anartha, nivritti, you know, so they're not pure one stage to another. When you leave one stage, there's no effect of the other. And so I think that the same kind of way with experiencing these emotions in relation to Krishna, even at the beginning stage, we can there may be some particular taste we have, and we may experience some of these emotions in relation to them. But again, generally there's the progressive path, and generally these states should not be imitated. And you know, Prabhupada was very careful about a warning on us in that regard. I was traveling in India. I was doing interviews for Prabhupada's biography, and I went to Orissa, and I went to one Gaudiya Math temple there someplace in Orissa. And they were very nice to me. I was a brahmachari at that time. They accepted me in the temple, and they gave me facility. And I went to Arti with them, and you know, they were like rolling on the ground. You know, that was part of how they did their sadhana. I assume it was sadhana. It wasn't just complete ecstasy, but they were rolling on the ground during the Arti. So yeah, they may have been experiencing, I don't know, but I hope that gives some kind of thing. Yeah.
Are these bhavas being exhibited in the other rasas also?
Yeah. Yeah. You can do the same kind of breakdown of these five elements, because rasa means the combination of these five different types of emotional experiences.
Yeah. I'm very happy that you are hammering it in your class. This is the second class I heard of you, same thing. And I do appreciate that. Because Srila Prabhupada in a walk, he says, without this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, no one can understand, taste, what is rasa. So that was very heavy. He said, nobody can understand what is Krishna consciousness. So I was very little heavy comment I felt why Prabhupada says like this without this book. So one example Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, that the man, actually they sing also, next verse if you read the translation, next one, iti nanda adya gopa, Krishna Rama Katha Muda.
In this way, all the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoy topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations.
Yes, in the purport you will see they sing also, but they sing in the court. Not with the, I guess, ladies, I don't know. But they do sing, men also. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives example of Arjuna. Mm-hmm. Arjuna in the battlefield, his thaibab, which is dominant and permanent, Prabhupada translated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that eternal dominant and permanent sentiment that each soul has, that Krishna given, and he wanted to taste. So that reviving, the whole process of reviving is Krishna consciousness, according to Prabhupada. So when Arjuna was on the chariot, Lord Krishna was exhibiting the universal form. That time, his sthayibhav ishukha, friendship with Krishna. Then this universal form became uddipan. It stimulated something disturbing his sthayibhav. Mm-hmm. He is friendly, but this is disturbing because it is not as a friend. If Krishna doesn't need anything, friend means you need something, I need something, you know, like this. But so that's why Prabhupada translated the three word. Arjuna pleaded guilty that I addressed you as a friend, I addressed you as a Krishna, that was wrong. But it's nothing wrong, it's just that it was disturbed. Now another example also happened. When Arjuna saw this universal form, what was he doing? he was involving his intelligence to bow down east, west, north, south, all around, being. This is require his own conscious choice. This is called anubhav. But what about his hair standing, his sweating, his faltering voice? He did not try to do that. Those are sattvic bhav. So sattvic bhav means that is comes automatically. Like in 73, Prabhupada says, I try to control, but I failed. I always try, but it is not for something. But sometimes he could not even control. He outbursted, cried in the class in 1973 in L.A. So like this, that sattvic bhav means it cannot be controlled by intelligence or any. But in the kirtan that devotees sing sometime, if they have the proportion of their conscious acceptance of this philosophy causes them to dance or sometimes jump or this, that. This is anubhav.
Yes, like Madan Mohan.
Madan Mohan Prabhu, he does that too? Okay. So like that to be understood is very nice.
Anything else anyone has? Any ladies have any questions? Madame?
Oh, just okay. Just a little. Had to say something after hearing that. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Chant and dance and ecstasy. I'm just following orders.
That's anubhava. Following orders.
You said that Garga Muni said that Nanda Maharaj couldn't understand the qualities of Krishna due to intense affection. But it seems like a redundant argument that isn't that the goal of devotional service is to have intense affection? So is it that Nanda Maharaj is showing Garga Muni, or is it Garga Muni showing Krishna that which is more important, affection or realizing that Krishna is the absolute?
Yeah, well, that's, I like that very much because, it's who's teaching who here. I mean, the fact that Nanda Maharaj didn't understand Krishna is the perfection of understanding Krishna. It's that's the mystery of it all here, is that, So Garga Muni is getting a lesson from Nanda Maharaj and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan about what is actually a knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, loving the Supreme Brahman, serving the Supreme Brahman, devotional service, that's the real lesson here, that's the topmost, and Nanda Maharaj, one of the premier examples of that, someone who has achieved pure love for Krishna.
One purport, Prabhupada put three times same thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, aho vagyam, nanda gopa brajastinam, jat mitrani paramananda, purna brahma sanatana. Here Prabhupada is saying about purna brahma, the supreme brahman. But purna brahma, when Prabhupada gives this story many places in his purport, that this brahmana who studied entire Veda, and then he come to conclusion that Supreme Brahman playing in the backyard of Nanda Maharaj. Then he gave up all the study and he ran to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada repeated that story in many places.
Yeah, well, it's right here. I have the quote here.
Go ahead.
His commentary, Srila Prabhupada writes, there is a similar prayer by a Brahman who says, let others worship the Vedas and the Upanishad. Let others worship the Mahabharata if they are afraid of material existence and want to become liberated from that condition. But as far as I am concerned, I only wish to worship Maharaj Nanda because the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead Krishna is crawling in his courtyard as his own child.
Yes.
So let's quote.
So Prabhupada did give both sides answer.
Right. Yes.
Isn't that similar to like Uddhava when he went to deliver the message to the gopis? He got to Krishna sent them there to actually be trained by the gopis. Hmm. So he brought the message. So it seems like that's...
Yes, then that's the purport of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam means that the highest form of worship, the highest form of love, the highest form of service can be found in the residence of Vrindavan and their relationship with Krishna. And they are treating and interacting with him as if he's their own child. But those that actually know part of Brahman, they can see that that's what's going on in Vrindavan. So any other points anyone has? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.